are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, November 5th, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, we are less than 24 hours away from the final day of voting for the midterm elections. And early voting has broken records across the country, but doesn't mean anything. Meanwhile, House Republicans are running from Trump, but does that mean anything? Lastly, Trump's full-on racist gambit will provide us a brief moment of clarity at the end of this week. We will get a sense of just where this country is at. And meanwhile, in Georgia, Secretary of State Kemp pulling out all the banana Republican stops, while a federal judge in Texas who heard the ACA case, which could essentially destroy the protections that we have against pre-existing conditions and rescission and lifetime caps. Is he sitting on his verdict until after the election? Today marks U.S.-Iran sanctions kicking in as the EU looks for a workaround. And a shooter in Tallahassee who killed two women was a YouTube racist incel YouTuber. Conservatives scammed for $150,000. Well, not quite, but certainly worth a smile. And the Supreme Court to hear a case that could very well nuke separation of church and state. And lastly, law-breaking corporations getting billions of dollars worth of fines punted by the Trump administration. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. So forgive us for the late start. We have some technical difficulties today, but we will get through it. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and not a particularly liberal crew of folks, but everybody seemed to be, I just don't remember more people being more invested in an election than these midterms. A lot of people telling me they were headed to, well, really across the country to get out and door knock. So I found that very encouraging. I just don't meet that many people who... You just don't, I mean, in the course of years doing this, I just have never seen so many people who are this active. Hard to know whether it's going to make a difference. And it's just, it's very difficult to anticipate. We know what the polls say. We see some tightening in the generic ballot, depending on which poll. But I think like the aggregate of all of those is somewhere around 7%. We have said quite often that there was a sense that you need about 9% to overcome a lot of the gerrymandering in many of these districts across the country. But again, predicting who is going to be in the electorate is the biggest challenge for pollsters. And, you know, Friday night I was on Hayes's program again, and Charlie Cook was on beforehand, and he was saying that Republican consultants, you know, seem worried, And he made the point that, look, you know, the national polls were accurate in 2016. It's just that there were a couple of state polls that were inaccurate. Well, I mean, really, we don't even have a national election this time around. These polls are smaller in many cases when you're doing a smaller district. Now, theoretically, you should be able to get it right, but there's less resources put into those type of things. So we just don't know is the bottom line. What we do know is that more than 34 million people have already cast their ballots early or by absentee. That is a 50% increase over the total number of votes, early votes cast in the 2014 midterm elections. So we're more than 50% increase. I imagine still, you know, this piece is from a day or so ago, and I imagine numbers are still coming in. And of course, there's early voting today in some places. Turnout is up amongst all age cohorts, amongst all racial groups and educational categories. Older voters still make up a disproportionately large segment of the electorate, but that's because they started with a larger portion of the electorate in terms of engaging. However, the difference between the sort of the rate of increase in early voting amongst young people versus old people is encouraging if you believe that young people who are coming out early are going to vote for Democrats. Now, there's reason to believe that, but we'll see. Among voters aged 18 to 29, turnout is up in 39 of 41 states for which data is available. For voters 30 to 39, turnout is up in all 41 states where data is available. So it appears that the 2018 electorate will be slightly younger, or I should say significantly younger, and more diverse than the electorate that voted 4 years ago. There's reason to believe that that is encouraging for people who want more Democratic members of Congress. In Texas, there is data that shows that more than 420,000 people have voted this year for the first time. That's four times higher than the number of first-time voters who cast a ballot in 2014. That's pretty stunning. I mean, regardless of who those people are, that's pretty stunning that you have four times the amount of first-time voters in a midterm election. Voters between the ages of 18 and 39 made up a little less than a quarter of the total Texas early vote. 4 years ago, those voters made up just 13% of the electorate. Now, the rate, I just want to be clear on what we're saying here. So in 2014, they were just 13% of the entire electorate. Presumably, I mean, we don't know where their early voting was, so we can't make that apples to apples comparison. But at least in the context of early voting, they have a higher percentage of voting. This is the thing you got to ask yourself that we don't know yet is, do these early voters constitute people who wouldn't otherwise have voted? Or are they simply cannibalizing what the turnout will be on Tuesday? We don't know. We won't know until Wednesday. But in Arizona, young voters have grown to 17% of the electorate, up from 10% in 2014. The number of Hispanic voters casting early ballots doubled, while the share of the electorate that is white is down 3.5 percentage points. The number of infrequent and new voters who cast ballots this year have both more than doubled. So
these are good.
If you're going to ask for numbers, for early voting numbers, these are the numbers you'd want to look at. This is what you want. They don't necessarily mean anything, but they're an absence of bad news. which is, you know, arguably good news. In Georgia, voters between the ages of 18 and 39 account for more than 21% of the early vote. That's almost up 10 percentage points from 2014. Young voters in Nevada, Ohio, Tennessee, and Wisconsin have also grown dramatically as a share of the electorate. And why this is important is, let me read down what NBC News. Democrats have a 7-point advantage over Republicans in the final national NBC News Wall Street Journal poll. So for those people who want a Democratic-controlled Congress, not surprising, 94% of Democrats do. 3% of Democrats want a Republican-controlled Congress. You know, who knows? African-Americans, 84% want a democratically-controlled Congress. 8% want a Republican-controlled Congress.
They got it. They're being silenced.
Right.
No one can hear them.
It's not Blexit, it's blows it or whatever. I don't know. Latinos, 57% to 29%. 18 to 34-year-olds, 57% to 34%. So you get a big chunk of people who just don't know. White with a college degree, 56% versus 37%. Women, 55% to 37%. That's a pretty substantial gender gap. Seniors, 54% to 40% want a democratically controlled Congress. Overall, all likely voters, and that's the difficulty that you have, is that 50% versus 43%. We don't, all likely voters. We just don't know. Whites, 44% want a democratically controlled Congress and 50% want a Republican-controlled Congress. The Republican Party is a party that practices identity politics. 95% of their support comes from white people.
Get those white guys. Get them. Get them.
There is... the Democratic Party, obviously, has a far more diverse base of support. White people with no college degree, 60%. It's the highest cohort, want Republicans to win. 36% want the Democrats. Independents, 35% want a democratically controlled Congress, 23% want a Republican controlled Congress, and 91% of Republicans. So those numbers are relevant insofar as if you project those numbers, and you can't really do this, you can do it to give you a semblance, but if you project those breakdowns upon the data that we do know about who have voted early, then that looks good for Democrats. But I want to remind you, in 2016, early voting suggested Democratic strength and enthusiasm in Florida. Do you remember there was some like report like a week before in Florida? It was like, this is 98% of, this is going to be a landslide in Florida. And it turned out not to be a landslide for Hillary Clinton.
Didn't work out that way.
No. But we saw enthusiasm in Florida, North Carolina, and Nevada. In the end, Clinton only carried Nevada. So this is my way of saying everything I've been saying has been somewhat masturbatory, and for that, I apologize. But it's important to, you know, look, these are going to be important points going forward. At the very least, this is what you can be sure of. The work that has gone in to get people to the polls early has paid off in getting people to the polls early. To what extent that's going to mean in terms of Congress, we don't know yet. Folks, do you love the thrill of an escape room? Looking for clues and solving puzzles? Well, now you can bring the mystery home with Hunt a Killer. Rob, I think you might like this. Hunt a Killer is a monthly subscription where you become a detective immersed in a murder mystery. Each month, a fictional serial killer will send you cryptic clues, objects, and letters that you can actually use to solve the crime in real time. It's so interactive that it feels real. You can play it solo, on a date, on a game night with friends, or you can join their online community, work with other people who are at the same point in the story as you are. I've started this with Mile and I.
How's it going?
She seems to be pretty excited about it.
Cool.
I'm waiting for clues. If I can just like get her off her phone on Instagram.
How's it going to be when you say Dad killed Seth Rich?
That's right. Well, I can't tell her that.
Okay.
But right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/majority for 10% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hurry to take advantage of this offer. huntakiller.com/majority for 10% off your first box. huntakiller.com/majority. Check it out, folks. All right, let's... one of the things that I think this election is going to... I mean, look, we're going to have a big problem this, and I think we knew this in after 2016, but we're going to have a big problem with increasingly a ill-informed public, right? And there's two dynamics that are clearly in effect during this midterm. One is Donald Trump is trying to motivate his base, and it does seem to be working, to come out and vote by scaring them with notions of a caravan of who knows how many hundreds it could be people by the time they get to the border. But they are now on foot over a month away, on traveling on foot. There are now 5,200 U.S. military personnel with helicopters and barbed wire that are, I guess, ostensibly waiting for them, spending hundreds of millions of dollars, it's anticipated. This little kabuki theater is going to cost.
Should have let me have the parade.
There you go. We should have let him have the parade. But, and I'm telling you this right now, you're not going to hear much about this after Tuesday, because it's just not going to have the salience. Maybe at one point Trump will announce, like, we scared him off. We scared him off, so we're bringing the military home. One of the dynamics is going to be what it tells us about this country in terms of their motivation based upon their disdain for brown people. The other thing is have Republican candidates successfully run from the fact that the Republican Party wants to destroy the good stuff in the Affordable Care Act, PACE and Protection Bill. I have said many times, the best parts of the ACA PPI were the patient protection initiatives. That is, pre-existing conditions, you cannot be denied insurance, and you cannot be overcharged for insurance as a way of denying it. You cannot have lifetime caps. You can't have yearly caps. You can't have rescission. In other words, you have health insurance that's taken away when you need it. You're under 26. You can be on your parents' programs. There are certain 10 essential benefits that health insurance must provide to actually constitute insurance. That's being undercut by the garbage that Trump is giving waivers for. But nevertheless... And like I said, there is a Republican-led lawsuit against the U.S. government, which the DOJ has argued in favor of, as opposed to defending against, that would do away with all this. In the meantime, you have Republican congresspeople, all of whom voted to repeal the Affordable Care Act and get rid of those things, and now they're trying to pretend that they didn't. In states... Republican-controlled states, you had Republican leadership denying the expansion of Medicaid. Remember, the first year out, that expansion of Medicaid is $0 it costs the states. Down the road, it can cost up to 10% of the cost goes to the states. Here is a clip of a debate. This happened last night or this weekend? Thursday or Friday of last week in Ohio's 12th district. Danny O'Connor is the Democrat running. Troy Balderson is the Republican. Is Balderson a sitting? He's not a sitting congressman, is he? Listen to Danny O'Connor. I have a feeling this might be a district that is not flipped, but a one where we've have resignation. But here it is.
Do you also oppose Medicaid expansion? Because one in every three people in Muskingum County are on Medicaid. So that means if you're watching at home tonight, look to your right and look to your left. Troy Balderson doesn't want one of you to have health care. You need that health care. We need that health care to ensure that we can fight back against opioids. Folks with breast cancer need that health care so that they can live to see their grandkids. People who work hard, who pay their taxes, who do everything right, need to have health care so that they can live a happy, healthy, and safe life. But when you have folks like Troy Balderson who want to take that health care away, you can't do that. When I'm in Congress, I'll fight for you. I'll fight to make sure that your pre-existing conditions are covered. I'll fight to safeguard Medicaid expansion because I know what it means to people here in Zanesville.
Danny, when we did the state budget, and we look at everything, and I served on the Finance Committee when we did this, over 50% of our state budget is Medicaid. So what do? We go in and we look at it. There are other ways. There is reform methods. In the state legislature, we have reformed Medicaid. We have looked at it. We have addressed issues. We have saved $200 million in the last three GAs working on Medicaid and making costs
come
down.
Well, if that's how much a life is worth from someone who doesn't have health care.
You can still provide health care. This is not about taking
one in every three people in Muskingum
County
are on Medicaid.
I want health care for everybody.
One in every three.
I want health care for everybody. I want people to have access to health.
We need more compassion in government for working people.
And we can do
that. Then why do you want to throw people off their health care?
I'm not going to throw them off their health care.
You just said you oppose Medicaid expansion.
That's not throwing them off their health care. That is not throwing them off their health care.
If they don't have Medicaid, where are they going to go?
That is not throwing them off their health care. We have fairly qualified health centers in this community.
Well, you said counties don't even have doctors.
Danny, there are some counties out there that don't.
If you're watching this tonight, just Google it.
The accessibility.
Every county in your old Senate district has a doctor. All you got to do is go on Google, and you'll find them.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, pause it. So this
guy cedared it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, he is the sitting representative in Ohio's 12th because Tiberi resigned, and he was elected, I think, just this in this August, just to fill in the special election, to fill his seat. But he was a former, Troy Balderson was a former state rep. And the bottom line is, if you're going to throw people off their Medicaid and you don't have a plan to provide them with some other type of health insurance, I don't know where you're going to get the money from if it's not this federal program that's going to come in and pay for it. But they have had to adopt this position. And now they find themselves in this rather unenviable position where they thought for 7 years, as the Republicans were voting to crash the ACA, and it was just a sort of, it was a mantra. And now it's clear that they have no other plan. They're, the only thing they can say is, generically speaking, I don't want people to lose their health care. But in terms of everything I'm proposing, it's for people to lose their health care. So they have a bit of a problem. And the best they can do is just sort of smile and look...
You can almost smell him anxiety sweating.
And these two, apparently, these two ran against each other in August in that special election. And apparently O'Connor lost by something like 1,500 votes out of 200,000 votes. So...
Do we just want to take the last 30 seconds of this again?
Yeah, let's just do that. Because it's... And I don't even know in August if this exchange had the resonance it has now, because we're seeing this across the country where, you know, in Arizona, for instance, where the Republican is just like, can't, you know, literally lying about the votes that she took and just hoping that the people hear it, like the reporters say, but you took that vote.
And then whining to Sean Hannity about it.
Right.
They're kicking my ass for it.
Exactly.
And we can do
then
that.
Then why do you want to throw people off their health care?
I'm not going to throw them off their health care.
You just said you oppose Medicaid expansion.
That's not throwing them off their health care. That is not throwing them off their health care.
If they don't have Medicaid, where are they going to go?
That is not throwing them off their health care. We have fairly qualified health centers in this community.
Well, you said counties don't even have doctors.
Danny, there are some counties out there that don't.
If you're watching this tonight, just Google it.
The accessibility.
Every county in your old Senate district has a doctor. All you got to do is go on Google, and you'll find them.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on, unless you have something to add, Congressman Balderson.
I have nothing to add.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, wow. He even got the disappointed principal treatment from the moderator.
Right.
That's brutal. So comical.
You got anything else you'd like to add? You've been totally humiliated. You're in a sweat now. Your lies are so transparent and embarrassing. Even the liberal shows that will mock you later for this will be uncomfortable watching you.
Right.
Is there any attempt you'd like to make at a recovery here? I'm assuming no, because that was pathetic. Next.
Damn it.
The cutback to the moderator seemed like something out of Vic Berger, actually.
Oh, definitely. That was real life. Maybe the camera guy watches Vic Berger videos.
But that's the dynamic that we're seeing across the country. I mean, the other dynamic is that you have like some candidates who are literally saying, the Republicans saying like that the Democrat is more aligned with Trump than they are. But that is the dynamic that's happening. For the most part, Democrats are leaning on healthcare as a major talking point. And
good. That's what they should have been doing all along.
Well, I mean, I think that's what they've been doing in these races.
Shut up.
There's a lot of evidence that that's the case. Meanwhile, in Georgia, and this is, I think, for me, but Georgia and Florida are going to be huge. And there's another race, Kara Eastman, running in Nebraska. It looks like it is going to be out of reach for her. She was facing a huge amount of Republican money that came in late, and the Democrats just did not step up to help her. Part of that is it's Omaha, Nebraska, and so on paper anyways, you wouldn't want to put a lot of money in. Another part of that, I think, is she's running in Nebraska not as a center, as a moderate, but rather as a full-throated progressive. And I think there may be institutional money that doesn't feel so comfortable with that. If someone wins in Omaha with that kind of platform, it creates pressure points all along the line for more moderate and corporate-friendly Democrats. But we shall see what happens in the coming days. Meanwhile, in Georgia, Brian Kemp, who is the Secretary of State, who has been on a relentless mission to disenfranchise voters, in the waning days when the story comes out that their own Secretary of State website is insecure in terms of allowing for voter data to leak out. This is what Kemp's job is. His response to this is by claiming that the Democrats have tried to hack it. I mean, it's really basically what he's trying to do is deflect from the fact that he can't even do his job properly. So here was Stacey Abrams' response.
Are you concerned these racist appeals are going to work?
What I'm concerned about is that his overarching architecture of voter suppression, of ostracization, of demeaning and dehumanizing people, that that can cause people to think that their votes don't count, which is why we've been so aggressive about telling people the best antidote to his antics is to actually turn out and engage. And we've seen unprecedented voter turnout because people understand that education and jobs and access to affordable health care are on the ballot this year, and that I'm the only candidate with a comprehensive plan for how we move our state forward together.
So there it is. I mean, she's just maintaining the high road. And
I like the
phrase, anecdote to
his antics.
Right.
That's good. He's like this racist kid, incompetent.
People,
and I'll deal with his antics by beating him.
Apparently, part of what she's responding to is that there's a robocall going out in Georgia that sounds like this. This is the magical Negro, Oprah Winfrey, asking you to make my fellow Negress, Stacey Abrams, governor of Georgia. Then it spews nearly 60 seconds of racism coupled with a dash of anti-Semitism. Here is the audio of the robocall going out in support of Kemp in Georgia. And, you know, this is the table's been set for this type of stuff. So who knows?
Oprah Winfrey. This is the magical Negro, Oprah Winfrey, asking you to make my fellow Negress, Stacey Abrams, the governor of Georgia. Years ago, the Jews who owned the American media saw something in me, the ability to trick dumb white women into thinking I was like them, and to do, read, and think what I told them to. I see that same potential in Stacey Abrams. Where others see a poor man's Aunt Jemima, I see someone white women can be tricked into voting for, especially the fat ones. And so I promise that every single person who votes for Stacey Abrams, you're going to get a new car. So you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Everybody gets a car. And as far as the race to wear whites who are in the way, don't worry about them. Like I said in that famous interview in 2013, white racists just have to die. This message paid for by the roadtopower.com.
There you go.
God.
Yeah, roadtopower.com apparently is an anti-Semitic video podcasting website. So
apparently Brian Kemp has a history of falsely accusing opposing campaigns of hacks. He claimed that the Obama administration tried to hack him in 2016, and he's sort of wheeled this out in several other races. So this is his go-to.
And we should add, no evidence provided.
Never any evidence.
Who needs evidence? Evidence, schmevidence, folks. Seriously. Here is... this I found a little bit disturbing in terms of what we're seeing from Donald Trump. Here's Morning Joe. Now, this is not from the 2016 election, right? This isn't from 2015. This is from today, November 5th, 2018. I would put this in the file, information we probably should have known earlier if you were in a position to have it as a reporter.
And, you know, that's what's so interesting, again, not talking about the economy, but talking about imaginary walls and imaginary caravans, is that Donald Trump already had those voters locked down. If you like Donald Trump because he was racially insensitive and he said these outrageous things, you already had those people.
Pause it for one second.
It's the swing.
Pause it one second. There's racially insensitive, I think, is soft-pedaling things just a little bit with Donald Trump. And aside from that, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Donald Trump may have had those people, but Donald Trump talking about it and reaching those people drives them to the polls more, right? I mean, we see it in terms of the rise in hate incidents in the Trump era. And we see it in the polling, frankly, that the more he talks about this, the more people are inspired to go to the polls. So that analysis is wrong on the part of Scarborough. It's not like he had, and Scarborough's going to go on to say, like, he could have pivoted. He could have pivoted and done the good things that that a Republican can do. But the fact is no, I don't think so. I think Trump has got a strategy, and this is the strategy. And you can't convolute it. Every time he's talking about fiscal discipline or whatever BS that Scarborough is going to say, it's a time where he's not reminding people that there are hordes of brown people coming to attack them.
Too wonky. Don't be too wonky.
Exactly.
Keep it simple.
But so continue.
Those people. It's the swing voters in the suburbs that might have been persuaded if this entire campaign had been about, hey, you know what? My taxes have been cut. Yeah. Regulations are being cut. The economy is still growing well. We're still in the middle of the Obama recovery. Not as big as the Obama recovery, but it's still Donald Trump has not completely destroyed the Obama recovery. And they would think that and they'd get a lot more votes. But Donald Trump has reminded them of Charlottesville every day over the last couple weeks. And what does that do? That inspires Democrats, independents, moderate Republicans, suburban Republicans, to vote Democratic.
Well, it may, but I also just say we confronted him about the birtherism. We said it's bad, it's wrong, and he said in a low voice, I know it's bad, but it works. Racism, in his mind, works.
Well,
pause 1 second. That's what we call in journalism is burying the lead. I would say, in fact, they buried the lead by at least 2 years. I mean, when Donald Trump was talking about birtherism, my guess is it was during the presidency of Barack Obama. And you'll recall these two guys, with all due respect, spent a lot of time supportive of Donald Trump early on until they found out what a bad guy he was. But I wonder if it was around the time that he said, yeah, I know, but it works. I got the feeling that that probably preceded that time. So maybe, you know, you recall when Joe Scarborough at one point had said, like, he seemed like he was in on the joke, and now he doesn't. The joke being stoking racial animus, incidentally.
We thought it was like Dice Clay, and it was a character he was doing, which people could appreciate on a certain ironic level.
Right.
Turns out, but then he became the character. And that's really when Dice's material went down.
I just hope the millions of people who watch our show were in on the joke as well.
That's why you've got to buy a membership to actually get all the joke material.
You see Meek and I in West Hempstead next week for $200. We'll make clear that this is ironic.
I really do think that if you're a reporter and you've had that conversation and you feel comfortable saying it at any time on television, you probably should have said it on television right around the time you heard it.
No, but then he wouldn't have said stuff to us anymore.
It's off the record.
Yeah.
Didn't want to burn. Yeah, well, I mean, that's my point. Is it off the record? Well, then you probably shouldn't have said it today.
And I don't know that she needed to qualify it with, in his mind, it works at this point in time. I'm pretty sure it's been proven that it works.
It's interesting because she was disagreeing with Joe, kind of the point we make, because Joe's like, the suburban Republicans are being turned off. That's like, right. No, that's like a lot of racism there. Like, they're liking this stuff.
I mean...
Yeah, I had to check the year on that clip.
Right. I mean, I think there's evidence that it's turning off some suburban Republican voters.
The LeBron guy.
Right, but the bottom line is... You don't know. I mean, like, how do they not have to? How do they not make that part of their coverage when it was relevant?
Because it was fun,
right?
And it was ironic, and it was
and it was pain.
Yeah, it got yeah, that,
was
the ratings.
That was it was really a rhetorical question.
Yeah, it was right.
It was. I know exactly how they did it. Yeah. They wanted to maintain access, and they were willing to like, man, whatever.
He's not going to win anyway. Yeah.
He'll be great when he wins.
You remember the LeBron guy?
he was the CNN focus group, and he's like, he's racist. He's a guy who voted for Trump in 2016, and whoever, Camarado or one of those people is hosting, she's like, what makes you say that now? Kind of with a little subtext of like, dude, what?
Where have you been?
And he goes, well, he called LeBron stupid. It's King James.
He's clearly the smartest black person.
Yeah, right. Bron is pretty smart.
Lastly, as part of this campaign that Donald Trump is running, and you know, it's not hard to see, to find reports that Republican congresspeople, particularly ones in trouble, are upset that Donald Trump has made this election about him so much and they can't escape this. And one of the things Trump has done is made this about the media. Here he is. I mean, this is almost nonsensical in a way. But here is, and the amazing thing is I've seen reports. I think I was just reading someone's Twitter thread who went out, interviewed people at the last rally, and they were all saying similar things. Like, the media is mistreating Donald Trump. They've got to treat him. They've got to give him encouragement to be the best he can be instead of covering him so critically.
Exactly.
Right? And here is Donald Trump on his way to West Virginia for a rally over the weekend. Is that over the weekend or is this today? Over the weekend. Friday. Saying that the real problem in terms of violence in this country is, of course, because of the fake news.
No, no, you know what? You're creating violence by your questions. You know, you are creating you. And also, a lot of the reporters are creating violence by not writing the truth. The fake news is creating violence. And you know what? The people that support Trump and the people that support us, which is a lot of people, most people, many people, those people know when a story is true and they know when a story is false. And I'll tell you what, if the media would write correctly and write accurately and write fairly, you'd have a lot less violence in the country.
What kind of Hampshire College bullshit is that? You're creating violence with that question?
The question is creating violence.
The question's creating violence.
That question is literally violence.
That question is literally violence. My plane and the entire White House is a safe space.
All that's missing is the hand clap emojis. God.
Right. This is
Steve Mnuchin there snapping fingers.
Pretty nuts.
My check.
So Donald Trump can be out there and saying that the media is causing violence. I mean, this is how far we've gotten from the days where they would say that it was like the violent TV shows that are creating violence. Now it's reporters asking questions.
I remember back in a time when it was Bad Boys 2 that created violence. Now it's CNN.
Honestly,
it's
like
terrible.
On one hand, you have to ask yourself, like, what the like theoretically the mass shooter who killed 11 people in a synagogue, just so angry about the tone of the questions at the White House press pool that he went out and murdered 11 people.
And don't forget that it's Trump. So not only would Trump say that, but then he'd also say that the people at the synagogue agreed with him.
The
press was so they treated Sarah Huckabee so terribly. We got shot.
There you go.
And that's what everybody said.
You put fake news in people's mailboxes. Just look what's coming to yours.
All right. Well, meanwhile, with that said, Donald Trump claims that the questions that the media asks are creating the violence. That may not be creating the violence, but I suspect that Donald Trump referring to the media as public enemy number one is going to create violence. I mean, look, we already have a situation where the MAGA bomber sent bombs to the New York Times. Did one go to the Post? There was a couple of media outlets that got
CNN got one.
CNN got one. And if you've never seen a grown man, and by a grown man, I mean like this guy, I would say minimum in his 40s. minimum. If you've never seen a grown man get completely agitated by a news company, you will. This will be enlightening to you. This is down in Florida at a DeSantis rally, and CNN is covering that rally, and then this guy nearly has an aneurysm.
CNN sucks! 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 CNN sucks!
The important thing about this clip is that he looks like Steve Martin.
He's so doing upset. He does. He looks exactly if the jerk part two. He becomes a Republican, like a MAGA chud.
Yeah, he's really lost his mind since Father of the Bride.
Yeah, but this is a guy.
So awesome.
He is. I mean, he looks like he's like a manager of like a retail outlet in that. In that mall or something, and he is just extremely agitated about CNN.
Because they suck.
He is just...
You're not listening,
he's just
dude.
Super it's... mad. Like, I can understand seeing guys like that at, you know, a basketball game or a baseball game where you actually think in your mind, I could distract this guy as he's taking a foul shot, or I could distract this pitcher or this hitter for 1 second. And maybe I could actually
mess up
impact,
a free throw.
Impact the outcome of the game. But if you're the CNN camera guy and that guy is 25 feet away from you yelling like he's going to give himself an aneurysm that CNN sucks, the only thing you're thinking is, I'm done for the day after I hand in this video. I don't have to do anything else. That's my job for the day. I just got this crazy guy.
To be fair, I do this in front of the National Review offices. But
well, that's
a week.
Right. That's right. You do that.
Has anyone checked on Steve Martin lately?
It's
not him.
NR sucks. All right. NR sucks. Buckley was a pedophile.
We're gonna head into the head into the fun half. Just a reminder, folks, Hunt a Killer is a monthly subscription that sends you cryptic clues, objects, and letters so you can solve crime in real time. So interactive, it feels real. Something you can do, and it's more fun than a board game. A little creepy. A little creepy. Right now, just for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/majority for 10% off your first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hurry, take advantage of this offer. That's huntakiller.com/majority for 10% off your first box, huntakiller.com/majority. All right, folks, going to head into the fun half. 646-257-3920 is the number. A reminder, tomorrow we're going to be doing a regular show, probably be on the short side, and then at approximately 7:38 Eastern time, we're going to go live with the results coming in. We may have some special guests. I don't know, but it's basically a lot of people are going to be home watching the results. And if you would like to do so with, all we're going to be doing is more or less aggregating stuff from various sources online and drinking. So if you are sitting at home, you intend on watching one of the cable news things, well, turn on your computer too and have us, and we will be more entertaining, and we will just regurgitate what we see on those channels anyways.
Like Chris Hayes, except drunk.
Exactly. Also, reminder, you can become a member of the Majority Report. When you become a member, we not only give you extra time every day, but we also take out the ads. So it's an ad-free experience, plus extra content, and you're supporting the free show every day. Join themajorityreport.com. Join themajorityreport.com. Just dimes a day. Nickels a day, really. Really, nickels a day. 10 nickels. Less than 10 nickels. No, about 10 nickels. It depends on if you're talking weekdays or weekends. Also, today is Monday. Tomorrow is Tuesday.
Joint. TMBS MR election night coverage tomorrow night.
Well, sort of, but not really.
Well, no, but literally, yes.
I mean, no.
Why is that no?
I'm it's confused. Just the majority report.
It's just the majority report.
I mean, in a way, you could say.
You can't give me a little, you can't give the show a little shared billing? Why not?
No.
Why so stingy?
Well, just because.
Bad deal.
Bad
Should
deal.
Should never been thought of.
Wow.
Right. Bad deal.
All right, Shylock. So what we're going to do is. Oh, no, right. That was very petty and stingy and sad. So we are going to do, I think, two shows next week. There will be.
Two shows.
Full.
Well, all right. I hope they're full.
What?
I said I hope your shows are full next week.
You have a wonderful day, bro, and I'll see you again soon.
Certainly,
I don't even understand at this point.
I'm just saying, full? I've got, yeah, you said you're going to have two full shows next week. I should hope so, because as a patron, I...
okay, I got it. Want,
and you're not just, I don't think I'm getting across the logic of it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Get all of the Patreon content at patreon.com/TMBS. Go to our YouTube channel. Now we have quite a few clips up at Michael Brooks Show. And I want to say, on the Majority Report homepage, you can buy tickets now to the first Michael Brooks live show. Which
oh,
will be
really?
At the Bell
I didn't
House
know that, too.
Okay. February 1st in Gowanus in Brooklyn with special guests Alona Minkowski, Bhaskar Sunkara, and T. Ricky Rawls from... Champagne Sharks.
I have to get the gushing out first.
I don't get that one. We've already sold almost a third of our tickets, and we've only been up for under a week, so get them quick.
That's good. Where is it going to be? The Bell House?
At the Bell House, where we did the show.
We are also... Is that official yet? Do we know that?
Yeah, but they're announcing it next week.
Okay. All right. There'll be other... there's another thing. Happening apparently at the Bell House.
Sweet.
Mm. But we
competition
can't.
Would start kicking in.
All right, and the Antifada?
Yeah, so in addition to the joint Antifada and MR election coverage, we have...
What, I missed it.
The joint... Antifada MR coverage. Oh, we'd already worked that out. We'd already done the billing. There was just not enough room on the billboard.
Yeah. In addition to that, this week we have on a very special and very anonymous guest. His fake name is Jay Firestone. He did a pretty heroic thing, actually. Spent 3 months infiltrating the alt-right in New York City. Wrote a really good article for Commune magazine about it that's currently going viral. And we have him on our show, folks, talking about the experience, what these people are like. And we have a little wide angle analysis of the far right, anti-fascist tactics, how to fight it, etc. in these dark, dark fucking times.
Sweet. And Matt, Literary Hangover, doing
yeah,
a joint
election coverage.
There we go. Glad to announce that. So this is the first election coverage Literary Hangover has done, isn't
yep.
it?
Branching out a little bit. I released some patron-only content last night, the first Hangover Hangout. I did get a bit tipsy, and some of my language is a bit... bit much, but I edited it down a little bit. So talk about my trip upstate to Lake George, where I stayed at the fort that's featured in Last of the Mohicans. We talk about Matt Weiner's The Romanoffs and some other stuff. So if patrons, you can check that out. Patreon.com/literary hangover.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920 is the number. We will be right back after this. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd.
Don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Grandpa.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands
up. Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me...
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.